Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh boy, a co-host has a quarterback controversy now. I thought Minshew looked great the other night. Great. It's like he did against the Jets.
He did. So, he played well, but it's time to go back to Jalen.
Would you guys have one win over a team with a winning record? Okay, great. You do know everybody else in the playoffs has a winning record, right?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure you know that, like, from now on, you're not playing the Jets and the Lions anymore.
I'm aware, yes. I know we got Tom Brady coming.
Which, by the way, you played very well against. The first time. I mean, really. I mean, they, you know, I thought they gave one heck of a fight.
Yeah, this is not an impossible game for the Eagles. Is it a tough game? No doubt about it. If I had to lean right now, I would probably lean Bucks. But this is, I think a 9-point spread is a little bit outrageous in my opinion. I think this will be a very competitive game. I do.
The one part I'm not sure about, and this goes from being down there, is that when I was down there, Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett were both out.
Correct. And look, Garrett Blunt is also looking like he's going to be back. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Fournette?
Yeah. Look, Garrett Blunt, where'd that come from? Fournette, yes, they're all going to be back, it looks like. But Lavonte David is a big question mark.
Do we need to get you Prevagen?
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Maybe.
It's not good when you go into the aisle to get Prevagen and you forget what you went to the aisle for. I mean, it's not good. All right. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Who could have ever dreamed of the scenario? Third and four, now what? Chargers take a timeout.
Los Angeles takes its first timeout. This will be a 30-second timeout.
What?
I think the Raiders were playing to get it down to either a field goal or just let the clock run out, and the Chargers took the timeout.
I'm trying to process this myself.
Wow.
I know.
That's really interesting.
Third and four.
What is it?
Jones goes in motion. Jacobs. And he's going to take it to the 29, and now they're going to be set up for a field goal attempt by Carlson. No sense taking a timeout if you're the Chargers here because it doesn't matter. So it's going to come down to this. A man who's never missed in the stadium in 2 years will try to send them to the playoffs, send the Chargers home, and send Pittsburgh to Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
Now they do take the time. I thought for a second they were going to let it roll all the way out.
They could have. And that would have been the way they could have guaranteed themselves a spot in the playoffs, and yet they still want to win the game. They still want to kick this field goal.
Exactly. Snap good, hold good, and Raiders in, Chargers out, Steelers in.
Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth. Al. Because I'm sitting at home going, what the fuck are they doing? But it was because he called the timeout. There was a part of me goes, yeah, there's a shock. I'm sure some guy from MIT told him to take it. What the heck?
I'm going to miss Sal.
Well, he's going to be on Thursday Night Football, probably. He's going to be on Thursday night.
Right. That's true.
And I will be watching because he's doing it. I have nothing. Only met him one time. Long time ago.
Oh, that I didn't know.
I just think he is thoroughly, completely outstanding. Yeah. As somebody who also does this in a poor man's way for a living like he does. yeah. I just think he's tremendous. You know, there are several elements to the game today as to how it's coached that I am completely in agreement with. Completely. Right? I think that they practice smarter today. I think they get more out of performance today. I think that there are certain moments on certain parts of the field where I feel like going for it on fourth down is, you know, I'm thinking to myself, go for it. Go. I mean, games I'm broadcasting. Hey, you kind of get into that gray area, go for it. Okay? And then I see other elements where I just sit back and say, what are you doing? It makes no sense. And again, as I pointed out earlier, you have to, you know, when you're doing this, you have to remind people that you know, Joe was a great coach. But when Joe was a young coach in his first bowl game, he was on his own 15-yard line against Florida State with a 17-0 lead. And Joe went for it on fourth down. And they didn't get it. And Florida State scored, and Florida State ended up being a 17-17 tie. So it's not as if in my lifetime, the guy I had the privilege of being around for 32 years, watching him closely on a practice field, everything like games, everything, for those 32 years, didn't do something like go for it on your own. Now, I would like to point out that was also the last time Joe went for it on his own 15-yard line with the lead. Okay? It was 1967. It was his first bowl game. Okay? To his credit, he then won 24 bowl games after that. Okay? and had 5 undefeated, untied seasons. So, believe me, Joe went for it on his own 15-yard line in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville in 1967 against Florida State with a 17-0 lead. And just so you know, it's all right, to preface what I'm saying here, I'm probably telling the audience, you'd have to be of a certain age to know, oh, yeah, you're right, Steve's right, he did, I forgot about that. Okay. But it was the great Jack Curry. Jack was on that team. And they're on the plane riding back from Jacksonville. And Jack Curry looks at Joe and he said, well, after that fourth down call, everybody in the nation now knows who Penn State's coach is. Okay. So it's not like it didn't happen. And then there was I mentioned the SMU one. Penn State was losing to SMU with a really good team. They were coming off a win over Ohio State 19-0 in Columbus. They're playing in Beaver Stadium. SMU's playing a terrific game. SMU has a good team. Penn State's losing. and Joe felt like he had to do something. And I think it was in the third quarter. They had fourth down and one at their own 29, and Joe went for it, and they got it. And they scored on that drive and eventually won the game 26-21. So it's not like I haven't seen the best of the best go for it on fourth down, including one curious and one that I was hoping he would go for it and did. But what I'm seeing today, especially with, like I said, I think Staley, I think, has a chance to be a good coach. I really do. But he does some things that just are just completely baffling. And that was as baffling a coaching performance as I have seen in a long time. He cost his team the game. He cost them the game. Going for it on fourth down at his own 18-yard line. Now, again, he may have punted it away. They may have taken it at their own. And their punter is not very good, by the way. I think he's dead last in the league. Right? But you punt the ball away. They may have put together a 30, 40-yard drive, kicked a field goal. It would have been the same result. I got it. Or they could have driven it all the way. Who knows? And scored a touchdown. But in a game that ended up 29-29 in regulation, he handed them 3 points on a silver platter with a call that is, no offense, boneheaded. Oh, analytics says, I don't care what analytics says. Common sense says you punt. Okay? Now, if we're out at the 48-yard line, all right, now I got a little different feel for what's going on here. Hold on. You know? Now I'm, you know, now you and I should have a quick conversation about this. But your own 18? No. Calling a timeout? Like, you need a tie to get in if you're the Chargers. You need a tie. They've got the ball. I'm not getting the ball back. So why am I calling a timeout? I put everything on them to decide whether they want to kick to win or tie. I would have put everything on him because, let me put it this way. The Raiders weren't calling timeouts at that point. It already was a longer field goal until you call timeout, and then Jacobs gained 4 or 5 yards after your timeout, made it a shorter field goal. It's baffling to see this. I'm trying to think of a game I've watched where I felt like analytics was a big reason why a team won the game. I'm trying to think of any game. I mean, you think Nick is sitting there tonight going, hey, what do the analytics say? Yeah, what do you think, Belichick? You know, 6 Super Bowls, 2 more with the Giants. Hey, yeah, what does analytics say about LT? Rush him. Okay, great. Let the LT, see the quarterback? Go get him. The championships are being won by teams that play. Oh, they use analytics as an additional stat tool, which is, I think, is vitally important. You need to have all the information, but when it comes time to manage the game, coach the game, whatever, you got to coach the game.
You're going to knock me for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. What he did last night, Brandon Staley, I think is a fireable offense. I really do.
Well, see, you want to fire everybody.
I agree that maybe he can be a good coach, but I'm tired. I hate when people say that, honestly. Oh, he can be a great coach. Well, he hasn't been a great coach. I think he stinks.
He's been a coach 1 year, and he got within a game of the playoffs. He got within half game of playoffs. Okay? He got to the final kick of the season of the playoffs. I mean, to me, the more egregious offense for him as a coach was losing to Houston. To me, that's the game that keeps them out. Houston's a game you're the prohibitive favorite. They should have won.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just like Frank Reich yesterday. No offense, but you got to beat Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to beat Jacksonville. And Carson Wentz played a very poor game yesterday.
Oh. Boy, how good do the Eagles look right now?
Well, for making the deal, I mean, they've got the 3 draft picks. They got the 3 draft picks.
And they're going to be between... From them and the Dolphins, they're going to be 15-19 alone.
And Well, not only have the three draft picks, but to be honest with you, short term, they got the better quarterback.
Exactly.
So, I mean, really, they come out smelling like a Howie Roseman. All right. Somebody said, what do you think about Dave Gettleman retiring today? And he said, I said he retired 4 years too late.
I think it was retired in quotes.
All right, now I want to say something very quickly about Brian Flores. I was surprised, but that's from 30,000 feet. I was surprised. Zimmer probably just another voice, but I was surprised they let go of Spielman too. That's a total overhaul in Minnesota. Fangio, and you kind of felt like that Denver is going to go a different direction. I've heard already about Bill O'Brien interviewing down there and maybe Fangio being his defensive coordinator. That would be interesting. You feel like you'd have two pros at the helm in Jacksonville if that happened. All right. If that happened. Chicago. Hey. So Pace, the GM, trades up and gets Fields. I agree with the deal. Nagy now has Fields. He doesn't have Trubisky. And by the way, Nagy wasn't a part of the group that drafted Trubisky. He inherited him. But this is the mistake you make, and this is why they are not working today. You get Justin Fields. You have got to then, at that point, construct an offense around his skill set, the way John Harbaugh, to his credit, he and Greg put together an offense around the skill set of Lamar Jackson. And that's what the Bears needed to do. They needed to say, you know what, the heck with this. We need to construct an offense around the skill set of Justin Fields. Instead, they tried to make Fields run the Bears' offense. That's why you can see that there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Bears about maybe going after Ryan Day. I know Jim Harbaugh played there. I understand that. But if you're Justin Fields, would you be excited about Jim Harbaugh coming in to be your head coach? That's not the offense that Jim Harbaugh ran at Michigan. Although I'll say this, Harbaugh did adapt his offense with the 49ers to accommodate Colin Kaepernick. So he does at least have that. But that's why that's the big mistake they made in Chicago. They drafted a guy, and then they tried to partially square peg round hole him into what the Bears do with their offense. No, you've got to look at the guy and say, okay, what's his skill set? You know what? We have to now work around this. This is what we have to work with. Let's go. And the Bears didn't do that. And that's why I think that's a big reason why the two of them are out of jobs today. I'm not saying he's the be-all, end-all, but you've got to at least give him a shot to be his best in what he does best. The Ravens did that with Lamar Jackson, to their credit. Fields is not Lamar Jackson. They bring different skill sets to the table, but you have to construct it around the skill set of their quarterback. It actually took a little bit for Bruce Arians, believe it or not, to do that with Brady. I think Nick Sirianni, to his credit, finally, about a third of the way through the season, had an offense that worked around Jalen Hurts. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. We'll find out who else Matt wants to fire here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They take care of all your insurance needs. Update policies. They're the pros' pros. I mean, Summer has it right. They're the best in the business. Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. When you get to the college football playoff in a moment, because it stalled again. But one quick, couple quick notes about Saturday. Penn State's got Rutgers tomorrow night at 6:30. Here. Then go to Ohio State Sunday at noon. Saturday's game with Purdue was a marvelous basketball game. It really was. So let's start with the part everybody always complains about. It was, first of all, a really well-officiated game. There's only one call earlier that Terry Oglesby made a call where I think he was out of position, where he called it a hell ball, and it should have been a foul because he grabbed Greg Lee's arm, and that's how Greg spun around. It's like he didn't spin around because he had the ball, because he had Greg's arm. Okay, that aside, so what? So what? Those three guys, most especially Terry. Terry had a really good game, I thought, on Saturday. It was a really well-officiated game. So, again, when I sit there and I say something about officials and it's not positive about something, always remember, I will say positive stuff when I think they've done it right. Okay? That's called balance. And they did it right on Saturday. I thought they did a heck of a job. It was a really well-coached game. I thought Micah coached a beautiful game Saturday, and so did Matt Painter. Now, Matt Painter has, he's got a veteran. He could bring off the bench in Trevion Williams. He'd been starting Williams and bringing Zach Edey off the bench. He flipped it around, started Edey. He really didn't have it Saturday. John Harrell was much better than Edey was. But Williams did. He had 20 points, 9 boards off the bench. He was terrific. Jalen Pickett was terrific for Penn State. 21 points, 10 assists. As Dick said, he plays that old man's game, and he means that as a compliment. And And Purdue got up 13. I think I said it was danger time. They got to the under 12, and I said, look, I said, here's where the game is. I think if at this point, the under 12, it may have been a 10-point game. And I think the timeout was at 12:18 to go. Because I think it was a 10-point game. And I said, Dick, I said, now we're about to find out between the under 12 to the under 8 whether this is a 16-point game or it's a 5- or 6-point game. They got to the under 8. It was a 6-point game. And they had it to 4. That told us it was going to go right down to the wire. Penn State eventually did take the lead, and then Purdue had a couple shots. Penn State couldn't quite get the shot they wanted a couple times. And that was it. Somebody said to me afterwards, says, well, they got to the last 2 minutes, they played not to lose. I'm like, oh, look at that. At this point, you're doing everything you can to be polite. You're like, what the heck are you talking about? Just turn your tickets in. That's what you're thinking, but it's not what I said. I go, oh, okay. So they got Rutgers tomorrow. And Rutgers has won 4 in a row. They just clobbered Nebraska Saturday. I mean, clobbered them. And they got their first ever win over Michigan. Michigan had 7 guys available, but hey, look, you play who's there. And they'd never beaten Michigan before, so that was a huge win for them. And so they've won 4 in a row, and they're here tomorrow night, 6:30. Penn State looking to get back to 500 in the Big Ten. College football playoff. The group that just can't get out of its way. It's delayed. There's no consensus. Now, where's the consensus missing? I was really glad to hear, because, I mean, the silence of Kevin Warren and the Alliance, as you know, I have not been I've looked at it like, okay, why are you doing this? But again, let's go back to the previous comment I made. When somebody does something right, they'll be the first to tell, I think. And what he said on Friday about, I think the Power 5 champion should be in, Kevin Warren, it was a great statement by him. I think it was a powerful statement, and I completely agree with him. The game is where it is because of the Power Five. It's where, okay? You got to recognize that. It is where it is, and the Power Five encompasses the entire country, coast to coast, corner to corner. It's where it is. You have on there, on that committee, Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame, Craig Thompson, Mountain West, and then you have two Power Five commissioners, Bob Bowlsby and Greg Sankey, Big 12, SEC, respectively. And a long time ago, Jim Delaney told me, he said, look, just, you know, he said, we got five Power Five commissioners at this point. He said, it doesn't mean we agree on everything. So for all we know, maybe there's one of the Power Five commissioners that doesn't agree with it. My gut feeling, the problems with the other, there's four others in the room besides Thompson, Swarbrick, and the five conference commissioners from the Power Five. So there's four others in the room. Oresco, whomever conference USA happens to be, probably the Sun Belt and the Mid-American. I mean, Thompson's got to be on board with what's going on here. I mean, he's part of the original four. So is Swarbrick. I'm guessing there's somewhere in there that they're not happy about it. It's got to get to the point where somebody maybe in the Power Five looks at the other four and says, you know what, we need to break away from this. And if anybody wants to join us, we'll let them in, but they got to do it our way. You can think Cincinnati being in is awesome all you want. Guess what? The ratings for the Cincinnati-Alabama game were good, not great. The Rose Bowl had more viewers, by the way. A non-playoff game between Utah and Ohio State. Really? How about that? Brands mean something. And Cincinnati, by the way, is going to the Big 12 anyway. They're leaving the American. So is Central Florida. So is Houston. And then BYU will join them. Only three, there are people that want to keep it at four. I'm no offense, but that's become archaic thinking. It does nothing for the game of college football. College football is a powerful, powerful entity. And you've got to be able to make that powerful entity work for you. Make it work for the players, make it work for the universities, make it work for the brands, make it work for the game. And in turn, make it work to help out every athletic department in the country. 19% of all the schools that play college basketball get to the NCAA tournament. That means 81% don't. 19% make it. College football, 3% make the playoff right now. Going to 12 means you go to 9%. That means 91% won't make it. Going to 16 means 12% will make it. That means 88% won't. So it's not like, hey, let's bring everybody in. No. But right now, you have a sport that is becoming too NASCAR-centric, southeastern part of the country. This is a national sport. Where Utah should have been in. Okay? Baylor should have been in. Michigan should have been in. Alabama should have been in. And Pitt should have been in. As automatic bids. Then a group of six automatic bid, that would have been Cincinnati. And now you start going at-large bids. Okay, who are the at-large bids? Okay, now you're going through who the at-large bids could be. Who, Ohio State might be one distinct possibility. Michigan State probably could have been another one. All right. All right, now you started. Okay, that's three Big Ten teams we've got in there. Hey, Georgia absolutely would have been one. Georgia absolutely would have been in there. Now you're debating, does Texas A&M make it? I don't know. And I don't want to hear about, well, the semifinals are not competitive. Irrelevant. Oilers led Bills 35-3. Frank Reich brings Bills back, win 38-35. Championship game? Semifinal? No, playoff game. Immaculate reception. Championship game? Super Bowl? No, that's playoff game. The Premier's field goal Christmas Day beats the Chiefs? No, playoff game. Raiders beat the Dolphins. Davis scores a touchdown. No, it's a playoff game. Diggs catches touchdown pass, beats Saints last play. No, it's a playoff game. Music City Miracle, that was a championship. No, it's a playoff game too. You're going to get, my point is, the memorable moments that you are getting in playoff games in the NFL are not always the AFC-NFC championship game of the Super Bowl. Some are. Some are. But you're going to get some other matchups that are going to resonate and just make the game more exciting. For some odd reason, Bucknell, which is an FCS, for some odd reason, FCS seems to seamlessly do a playoff with 24 schools every year. How the heck do they do it? How do they do it with and make it seem so seamless? Everything that college football does has always been a fight. Why? I mean, getting a BCS championship game was a fight. When I mentioned Jim Delaney earlier, when Jim did this show. He did the show at least I think four times. I think it was the first time he was on. I said, Jim, we're talking about the playoff. I said, I know how hard you had to work to get to, and he couldn't stop laughing. And I said, what did it take to get to four? Just to get two was a grind. To get to four was a grind. To get a conference championship game was a grind. Everything in college football has always been a grind to get there. Why? You got to get out of the way. People have got to get out of the way. You have to have the ability to have a little bit of foresight out there. And you just can't sit there. Like, we're becoming so numerically centric in this country. We're going to go back to the opening segment on analytics and so forth. You want to know why we're going so numerically centric? Numbers are a tool. Leadership is the ability to look at something and say, I know this is the right way to go, let's go. And I realize that we are in a society right now where leadership is in very short supply. I got it. I mean, thin, very thin. But sometimes you got to look around and people go, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Let's go here. It's go time. That's what I admire about Sankey, from 30,000 feet, Sankey, the SEC commissioner. That dude leads. You could make this work. I mean, this should have been like one of those, hey, okay, we're doing it. Now let's work out the problem in the room. And the problem in the room is quite simple. Right? It really is. There's only really one. How do you work the Rose Bowl in this? Because they want to be New Year's Day at 5. How do you work with the Rose Bowl, around the Rose Bowl, what? That's the only problem they should have had to overcome in this. The only problem. Everybody financially is going to make out in this. Everybody. Marketing-wise, every corner of the country would be represented. Fans would love it. It would be like it would be their December version of the of March Madness. People filling out brackets, having fun with it. You may end up with the same four teams. You may end up with Alabama, Georgia again. Who cared? You feel like at that point, at least it was a process. Why do they gotta make this stuff so hard sometimes? I don't quite get it. He said the only problem they should have is, okay, how do we work around the Rose Bowl here or work with the Rose Bowl? How do we do that? After that, the other parts really are not that difficult. And it's amazing how the Oklahoma-Texas thing, well, it really kind of stalled things. Stalled everything because you don't have anybody. It's like people look around and go, oh, how do we react to this? React to what? So what? You look at it and go, so what? That's nice. If the SEC has all 16 teams playing on a given Saturday, guess how many win and how many lose? 8 win, 8 lose. Shocking. They act like Oklahoma and Texas. Oh, boy, they're going to get Oklahoma. They're going to get Alabama in, Georgia in, Oklahoma in, Texas in, LSU in. No, they're not. The best year they're going to have is getting 4 in, maybe. Okay? Probably, in all likelihood, like the Big Ten 3. Too many people trying to cover their backsides, and too many people hear news and panic. And you make your worst decisions when you panic. Just check out the corner office someday. Oh, that's a different story. Sorry, man. That goes back. It's constant panic. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every year can bring new challenges. Your insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. 2022 has begun, and now is the perfect time to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. We have the experience and knowledge to help you protect what matters most. You can contact our office at 570-286-5855 or online at purdyinsurance.com.
For the magic of Buzz, the young man from Rice. The ball is down. The kick is on its way. That kick is up. That kick is good. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have defeated the Baltimore Ravens, and the Steelers are headed for playoff land.
Correct, but premature. Because that game was almost a tie last night. Oh, boy. Whew. I'm sure you have some complaints. That's right, though, because I think Matt's got Sealands Grove tonight, right? Yeah. So. All right. We have a lot. Friday's show, by the way, is going to be Merrill Reese, Jerry Dulac, and the King. Not bad, huh? Tony, thanks for filling in here at the end. Appreciate you.
Anytime, Steve. Happy to be here.
Matt's got the Seals tonight.
Yeah,
guess they had it.
I'm sorry, you go.
I was saying, I guess they had a tough one the other night. I think they lost by 4, so.
Yeah, I streamed that game. It was pretty close, but they just couldn't pull it out in the end.
Well, maybe tonight's the night.
Here's
hope
hoping.
So. Yeah, here's hoping is right. All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The best in the business.